In terms of climate, you brought up what's happening, what we're seeing in the Pacific Northwest. We've been talking a lot about what happened in Florida at the Surfside condominium building that collapsed. We don't know exactly what happened at this point. Do you think that climate could have played a role in that building's collapse?
Well, obviously, we don't know fully, but we do know that the seas are rising. I mean, we know that we're losing inches and inches of beaches, not just in Florida, but all around.
The government is gaslighting us into thinking that the problems in the world are white supremacy. You know, those Proud Boys attacking Asians on the streets of New York every single day in the videos that are going viral. They also say climate change is what caused pretty much every issue in your life. And if that doesn't work, you can always do what I do and blame Obama. But in a serious note, the government has gone rogue for some time now, but it's escalated in the last few years. Intelligence agencies are spying on journalists. Our own FBI is being weaponized to incriminate our own citizens, and the war has started. Soft revolution has begun as the government wages battle on the people of this nation. Welcome to July. We are done with Pride, so we've gotten rid of our transgender colors here in the studio. My name is Elijah Schaefer, and I am your top 17 host here at Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. And I have a big announcement before we jump into the stories. I have a great guest here today. I have Pastor John Schaefer. That's his formal name. He's also known as my dad. And he has laryngitis. He's laryngitis dad. Welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Thank you, Elijah. And yes, I do have a pretty raspy voice today. I actually did an Easter service with this voice before.
Well, God bless those congregants. That's John 1 for today. Just to make things more confusing, as we always do on this show, brought us somebody else named John. John Doyle, our black person expert, is back on the show here for another episode.
Where's my confetti?
Yeah, where's the confetti? There you go. We have confetti of color. We also have Savannah Hernandez, our resident reporter and producer. You also get some confetti as well. And can you
Thank
show us
you.
Your shirt?
Thank
can you show
you.
Us
yeah.
your shirt?
I thought that this shirt would be fitting for today's show. It's just a nice little picture that comes in. What can I say?
It's true. Before we jump into that, please remember, as always, to leave a review, a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts. Or on Spotify or Google Play, anywhere else where you can find podcasts. We might even read your review at the end of the show. It helps us out a lot. And guys, a lot of you comment and you're not subscribed to this show here on YouTube, Rumble, or Odyssey. So please hit that button, become a subscriber, hit the bell to get our notifications, because the battle is before us, but you guys continue to support us. Thank you so much, as always. Well, if you can go to my screen, Savannah, let's talk about this. Mike Cernovich has pointed out that it is now July 1st, technically July 2nd, and the FBI still has not found out who planted a pipe bomb at the RNC on January 5th. Not to mention, as we go further, that a whistleblower with direct knowledge told Tucker that the NSA is reading his emails. However, Tucker should ask him whether anyone over there is looking into the origins of this COVID-19 thing. I don't know, 600,000 Americans have died, and they haven't produced any meaningful intel over the past 18 months. And as Donald Trump recently asked, who shot Ashley Babbitt? Well, all these amazing questions are unable to be answered because we are too busy trying to hunt down, attack, and find the grandmas who toured the Capitol building on January 6th. The world has been weaponized against us, and we are fighting for our own lives. I know you've heard about this. You watch Tucker all the time, Dad.
I do.
And it does, and you know that the NSA, he has evidence, is spying on him, is spying on his show. They have obtained his texts, his emails, and they're not even denying that they've done that.
Right. I read about that. And so I heard about the whistleblower. And I know that, you know, often these things do turn out to be true, which in this case, I think that's probably the way it's going to go. And also reading that they have denied this, but at the same time, obviously, that's what would happen, is it would be denied.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this, John, number two. So I'm going to read the official statement. If you can go to my screen, the NSA was accused of spying on Tucker Carlson. Now, we know that the FBI and Homeland Security have done a little bit of that on us here at this show. We've had our own fair share of the government agencies showing up to my private residence, harassing my neighbors, doing surveillance on my house. So this has mattered for a long time. But the NSA released a statement saying that on June 28th, Tucker Carlson, who, if you don't know, is a host at Fox News, alleged that the National Security Agency has been monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take the show off the air. This allegation is untrue. Tucker has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air. However, they did not say that they have not been monitoring his emails and his texts.
Yeah, I think it would be a mischaracterization to describe the FBI at this point as just incompetent. It's actually approaching a level of explicit malevolence towards the American people. And it's like with what you mentioned about they're targeting you, they're targeting Tucker Carlson. We have evidence of this. I was driving through Michigan before I moved here, and I saw federal police had bought billboards on all the major highways in Michigan saying we want pictures and evidence of people who may have been at the January 6th thing. We'll offer cash rewards, like literally analogous to when, you know, we had the secret police and different communist regimes throughout history. And it's because the intelligence agencies and apparatuses in this country have always served at the hands of the regime and like as an extension of whatever occupying regime that is. So maybe 70, 80 years ago, they were trying to find out, you know, who the communists were and trying to get them and screw them over. But now because the communists have infiltrated all of the necessary apparatuses, they can then flip the tables and wield that power against American citizens who actually care about their country.
Right. And this is where it's going to get crazy. And I know I'm going to piss a couple people off here, and I like to do that. If you're new to this show, I'm going to explain something that is borderline, could be seen as gaslighting towards a civil war or a peaceful divorce. But I want to clarify, I'm not the one gaslighting this. I just am pointing out how the government is gaslighting us into trying to stoke a soft revolution. This is key. I am not gaslighting. They are. Because in the second part of this statement that we need to break down, the National Security, this is the NSA, has a foreign intelligence mission saying we target foreign powers to generate insights on foreign activities that could harm the United States. With limited exceptions, an emergency, NSA may not target a U.S. citizen without a court order that explicitly authorizes the targeting. And I want to break this down. They said that they are looking to target foreign intelligence, foreign nations. I believe that there are currently two nations in this country. There is the Biden regime, the GAE. This is what they are doing. They are the Globo Homo Mafia. They work. They have their own flag. They continue to develop it. They've colonized this country. They've sold out our economy to China. They continue to move on this nation. And they've continued to demonize every single person who still is a citizen of the patriotic United States of America. They've demonized our flag. They've demonized our anthem. They've demonized all of our shows of patriotism. They've taken every one of our parts of our history to tear down. They've demonized the majority race of the country, white people. They've attacked our historical religion, Christianity. And they've even come to take away our language by redefining our words. And so what has happened is, as Tucker's tried to make a point and has tried to iterate, but I'd like to reiterate to the audience, we are now the foreign, we are the foreign nation, and the regime of Biden is now focusing their efforts to target us, those who do not fall in line with their party. And that's the problem, is that we do not submit to that is their soft revolution. They transformed the country away from what the founding fathers wanted. And the only people that are not submitting to that have now become a separate entity. In fact, Biden his administration has called us terrorists, tens of millions of Americans, potential terrorists of right-wing extremism, which has been subjugated down simply to the idea that we still hold these things to be true and self-evident, that all men are created equal, that by these rights, inalienable rights given to us by God, right? We have life, liberty, we have pursuit of happiness, and these are our rights from God. We are the enemy now in this country, and the emergency at first was the Patriot Act, right? That was the emergency that allowed everyone to spy on citizens, and now we're in a global pandemic. And we have white supremacy on the rise and climate change. There's tons of emergencies and tons of excuses to spy on us.
Right. And that's the problem. It's a very sobering realization for a lot of people out there to know that if you are like a real human being, you're not an NPC, you have agency, you possess the internal monologue, you're an American citizen, you're also a patriot, you love this country, you have no institutional representation, you have no political representation, and your cultural representation, like you mentioned, is dwindling. The things that you listed off, those could be properly classified as like humiliation rituals. Like, what do they really gain by having the NFL come out and be like, football is gay? Or what do they really gain by having, like, you know, Mr. Potato Head become gender neutral? Nothing, maybe. But what it is taking these things that, you know, whether or not we like to acknowledge it, were kind of central to American culture and identity, and literally draping them in the Globo Homo flag and agenda. Like, oh, that thing you like, football, one of America's like greatest accomplishments culturally on the world, well, that's gay now. And it's like, as a man, you know, not that we're against that, but it's just kind of like, really? We can't have even football anymore? It's to humiliate people. Same thing with when they put the BLM flag and the Pride flag next to the American flag, or when they take down the monuments. It's just to humiliate
black
people.
Men in dresses?
Yeah, yeah.
They're always putting black men in dresses.
They're buck breaking them.
Yeah, they are buck breaking them. Tariq Nasheed, this is out to you. We won't buck break you, but I would love to have you on the show. I would love to have you on the show. But you as a pastor, as somebody who cares about this, I mean, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen over the years, How's church attendance gone over the last few years? I mean, how have you seen things change morally? How have you seen things move in our country as things have shifted politically, right? People don't care about politics. They're like, I'm sure a lot of congregants don't care about politics. Like, I want to stay out of it. I just want to serve God. I want to do my thing. These policies are affecting the nation. And I know you've seen changes in family and structure and even just people who come to church and all these things. From the pandemic itself alone, you've seen like world events affect how people behave in real life according to the standards of not only God, but also of just American culture as you've known it.
Right. I'm seeing that, you know, there's obviously some church members that really care about it a lot. And there's a lot of people that are just busy going to work and raising their families and don't have a lot of time to look into all of this. But definitely down the line, it does affect their families. And over the years, you do watch. And just like from my generation and when people were younger, you definitely see the changes from the times that we're living in now. Definitely. But, you know, when it comes to this one issue that you were talking about, the surveillance issue, I sent our family chat that article about Tucker because it hit me because of the time that I was in the former Soviet Union back in 1992, right after the Iron Curtain had lifted. And we had a group from our church there and, you know, just to share about the Lord. But then we noticed that our hotel room, there were all these wires all over the place. And it was real obvious that everything was still bugged, you know, as far as their government officials, you know, were concerned about, you know, why these Americans are there. And so it felt kind of strange being in a hotel where everything was bugged. But, you know, at the same time, we would think that that would never come to America. And obviously we can hide everything today and we could deny everything today. And I'm hoping that, you know, somehow it is disproven, but obviously the way things go, it's probably going to be proven. And I have a problem with that because I think that in our nation, and I was talking to somebody recently and this young man said, well, isn't that normal for the government to bug us and to know what's going on? And I said, no, that's not normal. It's illegal. And so this present generation, there are many who don't care and just think personal privacy is not there and everybody just knows everything.
Because they've been getting spied on by tech companies. Tech companies made people used to having our information sold, given out to people we don't know. And people are used to being monitored. It's like people even just talk about it, like, oh, I'm talking in a conversation and suddenly what I'm talking about gets advertised to me on Instagram. And it's really interesting how they do that. Like I was talking to Kez about getting slippers and then now I have a bunch of ads for slippers. I didn't even look them up that are coming on my Instagram and it picks up your voice. I mean, they're spying on us all the time. They can tap literally into anything. And it's so funny because the NSA is like, the NSA can do illegal things. But if you don't remember this 9 years ago, right? A little man named Edward Snowden, he tried to warn us about this, about what was going on and how the Patriot Act, which we're going to get into, for because a lot of people, like you said, are young. They don't know about the Patriot Act. They don't understand how the government used 9/11 to create a surveillance police state, similar to what the communists did before the Iron Curtain fell. And it's only gotten worse and worse. They use it to spy on Trump's campaign. They use it to spy on political enemies. And they even use the FISA warrants to spy on us, American citizens. Edward Snowden was like, they, you know, he exposed what they did. And they're saying that him exposing their criminal activities is illegal. And that's when you know the government no longer represents you, is when the government tries to hold us accountable by keeping us in line through surveillance. And then we surveil them and they say, you're not allowed to do that. We are the ones in power.
Honestly, in a way, I think that they almost do represent the people in that that happened. Everyone knew about it. And the NSA just kind of went like, yeah. And then a few years later, they made that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, Snowden, and everyone saw it and they're like, whoa, this is terrible. And then the next day they went to work and then they went and they got lunch and like nothing happened. There's no accountability on the government's part because the citizens are basically like NPCs and they just don't have agency because, and I don't know the neurochemistry well enough to explain this, but a lot of propaganda campaigns have been waged over the course of the last 60 years targeting our amygdala, which is the part of our brain that says, no, this is wrong. And you see this, whether it's like, oh, you have anxiety here, take these normal pills so you can reduce your anxiety. Just chill out. Hey, relax. Like literally like soothing a farm animal. And over time they've shown empirically that the average size of the amygdala has shrunk, which means our ability to say no and recognize, wait a minute, this is wrong, has literally decreased over time. And specifically, they found that testosterone is correlated positively with the size of your amygdala.
I know we're going with
this. And conservatives have a larger amygdala than liberals do. So,
well, and you know, Ian Smith, you know, the guy who kept his gym open in New Jersey, you know, the guy who was arrested, he's a good guy. He's actually coming on the show soon. He had an interesting theory, which maybe a lot of you have heard, but he was saying the reason why they're pushing pornography so strong is because when you have an addictive compulsive behavior, specifically when you are compulsively masturbating, specifically men, and I don't mean just like, oh, you look at it and you do it a couple times. We're talking about a lot of men have obsessive compulsive masturbation disorder, which is like they are ejaculating 8, 9, 10 times a day to pornography. They're looking at it in the morning at work. The huge problem in the country of lost work time because people are browsing adult material at work. And so what he said is the reason why they've normalized sex work and the sexual confusion, the pornography, is because the constant release of ejaculate during masturbation actually lowers over time your testosterone levels, which is directly related in that part of your brain, which makes you more submissive as a man. And so the more they can get people, men hooked and on and addicted to masturbation, the more they can get men addicted to pornography, the more they can get men, as he calls it, releasing the seed, the more that you, the man will be submissive. And to who? Well, obviously to feminism, to women, and also to the government. And it weakens them. And the government, just by pushing and proliferating pornography to access points, that is, can take out 60-70% of the men that could resist them. Just by proliferating pornography, they literally can take them out. And they've done that. And I that's an interesting theory, and it doesn't seem to be able to be combated with any real evidence.
Do you mind if I plug myself?
Go ahead.
I have a 2-hour anti-pornography dissertation on my channel that covers all of that plus more. You should definitely watch it if you are a young man. We all know what you've been up to, big guy. You better just watch the video. Swallow your pride, watch the video. But it's true. It's like, it literally, it is the only drug, which it is a drug, that chemically rewires your brain. And it solidifies the same neural pathways that you see if you are a habitual cocaine user, even methamphetamine user. Like, the brain scans are 1-to-1. They're identical. And like you said, it lowers testosterone. It makes you depressed because your dopamine receptors are totally fried. So even in your day-to-day life, things that used to bring you pleasure, whether it's, you know, driving with the windows down, you know, going out for a walk in the sun, it makes you feel like this numb zombie, and then you seek that more frequently to try and like chase that initial spike, and it depresses you, and it's so demoralizing, especially because if you look at the most popular types of pornography that are being pushed now, it's all like stepdad, stepsister,
incest porn.
It is sexualizing the family unit. Why are they doing that? The most sacred building block of Western civilization, they are trying to sexualize and pervert. Why?
Because that's the ultimate tearing down the family is how you tear down a country. Once the family is destroyed, the country is gone. And that's why Christianity is attacked, because it keeps families independent, because you have a moral code by God. That's why they attack marriage. That's why they push it further and further away. When you have kids, it creates responsibility. It creates maturity in the parents. I mean, there's so much here. But this is why I always say to the atheist people who watch this, they get mad whenever I bring up God, but I have to bring it up. It's not because people are just apes floating around with molecules that they want to do this. It's because it's designed by the devil, who wants to destroy people, and a free Christian nation that liberates people. That's why they call it, they're against colonization, is because what they were really mad about was missionaries going into other countries and bringing the Christian faith. That's why even today they talk about these schools and the cultural genocide of the natives in Canada, because they're really attacking this idea of missionaries and bringing the gospel to people and civilizing people through finding out that we were not made to be atheistic animals, that we shouldn't just be wild, but we are made to be in the image of God.
You know, I think with my laryngitis here, sorry, everybody.
You could whisper too if you want.
Okay, well, I don't know if I can whisper. But anyway, I was going to say
he's not whispering?
I wrote the bill. Right. Okay, listen, on that particular topic though, I think it'd be interesting, like even in church, if we had teachings on some of the scientific or some of these studies, because I think a lot of the guys know the Bible verses, and you know, and by and large, people are trying to live as best as they can and overcome things and live under God's grace. But at the same time, there's you know, those things about lust. And so sometimes if you could be armed with some information, it could kind of help you to kind of get a broader picture of what might be going on with you. And so this particular thing you guys are talking about, I know, you know, at church, what kind of verses we talk about with the general topic of lust and trying to keep yourself under control and all that kind of stuff. But this is good information you guys are sharing.
Yeah, to your point on
that.
You
can watch this video.
So true.
You could, I mean, it's a 2-hour dissertation you can send to guys that really goes through everything.
Y'all watch it.
It's really good. I mean, it takes time. And I always tell people, actually probably watch it over a couple days because that's what I did. I rocked on like 30-minute blocks because a lot of info. You've got to kind of think a little bit and get through it because it's very dense because John has autistic IQ levels.
It's my superpower. What can
I
say?
It's a dense video, but it's really good.
Because one of the big things, you obviously, you know, since it's so widespread and being dealt with, that you don't want to make people feel condemned or make people feel terrible, but you do want to educate people so that way they have better tools to, whether it be stop or moderation or something, but just to live better.
To tone it back, and chances are if you're a guy and you're watching this, you probably are watching porn on a regular basis. And if you're a girl, there's like maybe like a smaller chance, but it's probably true too. But kind of switching back to this of the control, right? He did let us know about this. Edward Snowden did. And I think, Savannah, you were talking to me about the importance with like understanding this whole issue with the spying and everything. I'm pretty sure you said, can you please explain to the people like exactly what you were telling me earlier?
So I was basically telling you that the way that the NSA gets away with this as well is something called reverse targeting, where the NSA will say, okay, like, you know, we're targeting foreign entities, and Tucker Carlson was talking to the president of El Salvador a couple months ago, right? So that's how they get away with taking all of the communications that Tucker Carlson had with, you know, the El Salvadorian president or whatnot. And I don't know. I mean, our intelligence agencies are so corrupt. This isn't the first time we've seen this. It's not going to be the last time we've seen it. And like we continue to talk about, why is no one ever held accountable? Why is this something that Americans just sit down and continue to take and never push back on? We see it all happen time and time again, and we're all okay with it. And it continues to happen again and again.
Right.
Well, you know, I was going to say, rather than it just being a new administration coming in and changing it, definitely if Christians would rise up and pray for this, because this is definitely something that we need to see. If this is really going on and it looks like, you know, these things might be going on, it's like, Lord, please help our country to not just fall.
But it is going on. You know, I was talking, we had Darren Beatty on a show recently. You can watch that with John. He's somebody that I didn't realize that it was the same person that I follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to him that it's interesting, though, and the reason why this stuff continues and proliferates, this is going to be a jab at a lot of people, but as Savannah's told me, don't drop names. Just be a nice person. And this
be a good boy.
So what's funny is that since January 6th, I have been claiming that the not only me, but also like Taylor Hansen, a lot of people have been having problems. Right, even Nick Fuentes got banned from flying, and Taylor Hansen got banned from owning firearms. Taylor Hansen was working for the Gateway Pundit. Nick wasn't even in the building. I am a federally credentialed reporter being harassed on the request of a sitting congressman. A lot of people have been complaining, right? So what happens is someone like Nick Fuentes complains about getting put on the no-fly list, which is a valid complaint because he never went in the building, and also about the way that they've basically frozen his money. If you don't realize, they've frozen massive amounts of money in his bank accounts for political targeting. But of course, well, everyone knows this guy, which I don't think you're familiar with Nick Fuentes, is that he's like the boogeyman on the right that nobody wants to say his name because literally they're afraid to say his name because his brand is radioactive. It is super radioactive. So what happens is somebody like that gets hit right by the feds, and everyone's like, oh, that's not good. But well, it's Nick, and he's made jokes about the Holocaust. So he says the N-word, and he's called people, you know, the maggot, the thing that rhymes with maggot, and he says Jew stuff. So I can't defend him because even though he's an American citizen, his brand is not aligned with my brand. This is why the right loses. Ready? Then it goes a step further, and it's like, oh, Taylor Hansen got, you know, the guy who filmed Ashley Babbitt getting shot, the guy who's the reason why we know the officer, Mike Byrd, that killed Ashley Babbitt. The reason why we know that is because of Taylor Hansen did a service for America where the government hid and committed a murder in the White House and in the Capitol building. They go, oh, well, Taylor Hansen's not federally credentialed. So it's like, oh, well, and he doesn't have a big enough following, so we're not going to defend him. Then it's like, then it goes a step further, and it goes to me, and it's like, oh, this is what happened to me. When the feds got on me, a bunch of people pulled back and distanced themselves. And I'm like, guys, the law's on my side. I'm going to win this. While people were harassing me, you know, stealing my advertisers, going into my DMs, harassing me, telling me I'm going to go to prison. While a sitting congressman was sicking the FBI on me, when I have the credentials to do what I did, they're like, oh, what? I don't want to get involved in an open lawsuit because it's not going to help my brand. And then suddenly it happens to the biggest commentator, not just on the right, the biggest journalist in media at all, Tucker Carlson. And then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this to the right wing media because it helps their brand to like come to Tucker's aid. And it's like, okay now because it's brand safe Tucker. And it's like, dude, you guys lose because you let the enemy get up to a point to where you you no longer can do anything.
It's so true.
And you're losers and you're grifting even off of Tucker being spied on. We are real people. Tucker's a man. He doesn't even go on social media. He has a family. He's a man and he's just like you. And if you think that it's like this hierarchy, no. If it happens to anyone, it can happen to actually everyone.
Right.
And it goes to Tucker. And the right's like, how do we get here? And it's like, because you only cared when it affected Tucker, because you all just want to go on Tucker's show and look like you're defending Fox, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it's like, I'm sorry, not only did Snowden warn you about this for like over a decade, but also since January 6th, this has been happening at such extreme levels. And this is the Blaze. Like, this is the largest online conservative network, and there were credentialed reporters telling the public this is happening. And no mainstream outlet has ever asked me or picked up the story except for OAN. OAN and Tim Pool picked up the story and have put it out there, but nobody else, not even Fox, has been like, and now Fox is a victim.
Do you know what, real fast? The targeting of conservatives, and of course we read that if we have, you know, conservative news apps and things like that. But of course, the other news agencies don't show that kind of stuff. And so when you talk to people, they'll say, do you really believe that? And they'll say it kind of as a put down. Do you really believe that when you're saying that this is going on? But the fact is that it is going on. And that even in our, well, in my own sphere of people, I had one person that was a city council person, and they were just at the January 6th thing. They were on a plane when the riot thing broke out. And yet there were people that were trying to bring them down from the city council that they're on. And somebody else that just happened to be there too. And so they were targeting people, not just conservatives who are up there in the media, but targeting people that are just innocent bystanders.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, and to that point too, it's like the people are just as bad. Like they won't take a position when men are identifying as women because, hey, it doesn't affect me. I don't care what people do in the privacy of their own home. But then all of a sudden their daughters are getting schooled by the boys in transgender athletics. And then they want to throw a fit. And it's like they refuse to take action at every step leading up to when it immediately affects them. And then they want a virtue signal and throw a big fit. Like, well, I can't believe. Well, they've lost their damn minds this time. But it's like, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. You will do nothing. That's why the big fantasy is always the Second Amendment, the last chance for a disobedient population. It's like the Second Amendment is a cope. You won't do anything, and you know that. That's why it exists, because if they like actually took your guns away, then maybe you'd be like, oh, it's real. But no, they needed you to have that just in your mind. Like, well, one of these days, I'm gonna fight back and take my country back. And no, you're saying, not.
I'm going to get my Glock 19 and predator drone.
I'm gonna get out of the Lazy Boy. I'm going to put down the Mountain Dew.
The big gold.
I'm gonna close my laptop. I'll get back to my black.com video in a second, and I'm gonna clear my suburb from the ATM. No, the door is gonna get kicked in. Some 23-year-old kid is gonna collapse your skull like a watermelon with an M4, and you're just not.
You know what, John? I want to say something on that, John.
I'll stop.
It's really gonna be your generation that's gonna rise up at this time.
What do you mean,
rise
up?
It's your generation that's gonna rise up either for finding God, or it's your generation that's going to save our country. And it really
Antichrist.
Isn't my generation. It really is going to be those in their 20s and their 30s that are awake to all of this and trying to figure out ways to maneuver through, whether, of course, it be through voting, or whether it be through media, or whether it be through overturning certain media things. There's got to be a way, but your generation is going to be creative, and they're right. The ones that are going to bring the change. And as more and more young people, because a lot of the young people are just busy going to school and busy just trying to work and stuff too. And so they're not overly thinking of these things, but there are those that are considerate and are really feeling a conscience strickenness about all that's going on. And so, man, we've got to see that this generation rise up to bring about change.
Yeah, and this is true, and this is why Darren Beatty, which, by the way, I love how they try to call him a white nationalist, even though he's a Jew.
Yeah, I know.
Can we get over this? Can we, Savannah, can you go on the screen here? Can we start, like, people are like, oh, John Miller is a white nationalist. John Miller is black.
He's literally black.
It's inherently impossible to believe in it. That would be, then he would, if he was a white nationalist, he would have committed suicide.
True.
Okay, so, and he's not suicidal, and neither is, they always do this. They start calling, you know, like, Jews white supremacists. It's like, inherently, they're not, okay? Inherently, you're not that. But Darren Beatty, who was crapped on, the reason why they're coming after him is because he's finding out real information.
Yes.
His website, which I encourage people to start visiting, revolver.news, is an amazing, one of our last stands. He actually, and this is a lot of information that's come out, has been instrumental in realizing something that I also have found out through multiple investigations and through talking to people, is that the FBI, and I will say this, allegedly, because it's always allegedly with the government, because you'll never go to the court of the government to prove it. They planned the Capitol riot. The people that were instrumental that are being arrested for the main organizers, the people who premeditated this violence, are being protected by the government as informants. They were informants, and the FBI admitted in their official documentation that they were informants. So they were working with the FBI. The FBI knew about their plans to attack, and the FBI let it happen, which means the FBI is an accomplice to what happened, which is enough to say they share blame. If I'm with you and I let you carry out a murder and I have foreknowledge and I don't alert anybody, I can be prosecuted for being a part of that, talking to you about a crime that you're going to commit and then letting you commit it, be accomplice to the crime. If you murdered somebody, that would be the crime. Well, it just comes out now, Darren Beatty here, front page, federal protection of Oath Keepers. I'm sure you hear about them. They say, how the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the 3% white supremacists, whatever they call them these days. The kingpin, Stuart Rhodes, breaks the entire Capitol insurrection lie wide open. Check this out. This is pretty crazy. This is at, he says, Republicans, you can crack open the entire store January 6th. I'm going to go down here. Stuart Rhodes is the founder, boss, and kingpin of the Oath Keepers. I'm sure you've heard of the militia, the Oath Keepers. I don't know if they call themselves militia, but that's what the government's calling them now. And so let's just listen to the government.
Always.
Yeah. Can I make that quote that, that's Fleckas in his recent video from Pride. If you haven't watched it, ask someone why they got the vaccine. They said the government said it was safe. And why wouldn't you do what the government says? Cause the government's trying to keep us safe. And I went,
I believe everything the government tells me.
Me too. But he says the Oath Keepers, we were told, the America's largest militia, the most prominent anti-government group in the United States, and the preeminent right-wing domestic extremist insider threat to the entire U.S. military. I love his writing. Whatever the truth of these hyperbolic claims, the fact remains that the Oath Keepers are the most extensively prosecuted paramilitary group alleged to be involved in 1/6. Indeed, it was the alleged pre-planned assault, in quotes, on the Capitol by Stuart Rhodes' alleged Oath Keeper lieutenants that was used as the key talking point to try to convert the day's events from a protest into an insurrection. So for those who are like my level IQ and not John's, what he's trying to say is that if we need to find out if it was an insurrection on January 6th or not, that's important. They have tribunals. They're starting to have investigatory groups. So let's ask the question, was it an insurrection? So you'd have to know an insurrection if it was an attempted or a carried out violent overthrow of the government. So you'd have to know if this is really what happened. We got to answer this question. So let's go to the main group that is being accused of planning this, the Oath Keepers, and let's go to the head of that group, this guy. Well, Stuart Rhodes is not simply a key figure in the Oath Keepers. He is, according to the Oath Keepers board member, he is the Oath Keepers. And it turns out as we get into this, that he was working with the FBI. They knew about this. You can get into the whole article, but it's like the main minds behind the insurrection was the government, and inherently then the FBI should be the one blamed for the insurrection. My point is that the government didn't try to overthrow itself, which is why these people were not heavily armed, which is why they were never going to carry this out, which is why, as the New York Times released damning evidence on behalf of Joanne Donovan, our favorite butch lesbian professor, who blamed me, by the way, and Andy know, for causing the riots with our footage. Just to clarify, Harvard, with a peer-reviewed journal, said that the videos from me and Andy know are what gaslit America into more rioting. Not the rioters. Never blame black people for BLM. Don't blame white people from Antifa. Let's just blame the people filming them, as always. But the point of the matter is that, summing this down, what we are finding out by the name, by their own documents, is that the FBI played a role in this, which is why, like I said, Joanne Donovan released information with the New York Times saying that the National Guard was stationed 20 minutes away from the Capitol and they were denied access to prevent the insurrection for 3 hours. They were not allowed onto the scene until the entire certification had been stopped, until the people had broken in and the certification had been stopped, which is where they can claim insurrection. They had to wait till the certification had been stopped and then the National Guard came in.
Yeah, you and I actually made a prediction about 6 months ago on the first podcast that we did together that was pretty similar to what ended up happening. And it's like they just walked right into it because they're so stupid. It's like the entire right, I would say, predominantly masturbates to this misunderstanding of the founding fathers and what they wanted this country to be and what it actually is. And so, you know, they're going to walk into the building like, yeah, you know, we're patriots, we're making our stand. But it's like, what did you do? You took some silly pictures and then you poked the bear and now you're getting your teeth kicked in. Now you're in 23-hour lockdown. You can't make phone calls and we're all going to be screwed over for the next few decades. This is going to be written about in the history books. And like, there are legitimately people people out there. There are tens of millions of people out there who think that there was an armed insurrection and that there were people trying to legitimately overthrow the government analogously to, you know, Hitler and the Nazis in 1920s Germany. It's just like it's such an extreme level of cognitive dissonance that we don't have a solution to because we have no institutional power to disseminate that truth to the masses. So because we don't control that, they can point the finger at us for literally, they could just make stuff up.
Because the intelligence community controls the media outlets. Do you not know why everybody is a former CIA, former FBI? I like how CNN was like, CNN did this. They were like, and to prove that the FBI had no role inside of the insurrection,
yeah,
we brought on former FBI director to tell us. It's like,
It's like how the NSA just came out and was like, we weren't spying on Tucker Carlson. Yeah, no, it's absolutely like not.
To tell you that homosexuality is not a sin in the Bible, we're bringing on this lesbian pastor who will tell you you're going to go to heaven even if you practice lesbianism. It's like, it's not exactly the right source for the objective. It's like, you're kind of using the exact problem, and that's what they did.
You know, I was thinking about that particular day. It was a rally, and there were a lot of people that were just, you know, patriots that were there, right? But what happens is people become afraid to show any extreme excitement or extreme support. And in the days that, you know, a lot of people have grown up in, that there's, you know, what's been preached to everybody, and it's not really that bad, but it's tolerance. And so everybody's realized, okay, accept this and love them and be tolerant of that. And on a one level, there's a really good thing about tolerance. But what happens also when we just think tolerance, and middle of the ground and no extremism, which there are extremists on the left, there are extremists on the right. But then what happens is, like what you were saying, John, that part of the brain that's able to say no, that's shrinking, people, when they're just in that middle ground and they're not standing up for anything because they don't want to be too far to the right or too far to the left, and we're just tolerating everything, so nobody takes a stand anymore. And so, yes, there are people taking a stand, and you see it on the news on both sides. But at the same time, there's a lot of people, and of your generation and Elijah, that's in that middle ground territory who can actually, you know, rise up to their convictions, rise up to their patriotic thoughts or their study of history, and rise up to the times that they're living in. And like Queen Esther, it says that she had come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And there's probably a lot of sleeping giants of young people in this generation that are going to rise up with voices.
Right, but it's hard when the truth is being rewritten, because watch this. So obviously we know the truth, but since the government has gone rogue, they're, like you said, they're going to rewrite history. This is going to be the worst thing that ever happened. The NSA never spied on us. Like they said, it's illegal to even question that. The insurrection was the most dangerous white supremacist uprising in American history. More dangerous, actually. I was saying this. I want to go Star Wars level. I think that was the worst event in the intergalactic empire. Like I
agree. The worst event. Yeah. Fictitious or not.
Yes.
Like that's ever been written about, that is the worst thing.
It was worse than when the Death Star blew up.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this was worse than the blowing up the Death Star. Honestly speaking, because how many innocent people were forced to work on the Death Star, but their lives are still less valuable, of course, than the zero amount of police officers who were killed that day. That being said, the government is denying the truth, and you can see this smug, I would say it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Let's play this video from Jen Psaki, who this new narrative is. The left is just rewriting history, saying, actually, we're not the ones who defunded the police. We're not the ones who are fighting for this, even though Cori Bush, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, I don't know, Rashida Tlaib, a lot of people have usually actually used the phrase defund the police, not only in words, but in writing. And this has been mirrored, of course, by the Los Angeles defunding their police, Portland, we're talking about Oakland, Minneapolis. I mean, people literally physically doing this in the Democratic Party. They're now denying this. Peter Ducey confronted Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Watch this encounter, and you can see that this is not a party of the people. This is a regime spewing propaganda. This is crazy. Let's watch this.
On another subject, you mentioned at the last briefing that you think Republicans wanted to defund the police because they did not support the American Rescue Plan. Which Republican ever said that they did not like the American Rescue Plan because they wanted to defund the police?
Well, first, let me just note that the president ran and won the most votes of any candidate in history on a platform of boosting funding for law enforcement after Republicans spent decades trying to cut the cops program. There's record of that. That doesn't require anyone having new comments, and then also stood in the way of crucial funding needed to prevent the laying off of police officers as crimes increased. That's a simple statement of fact.
I understand what you're saying there. However, there are lots of examples of Democrats explicitly saying they want to defund the police. We've got Congresswoman Cori Bush, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar. Are there any examples of Republican members of Congress saying they want to defund the police?
I think most people would argue that actions are more important than words, wouldn't you say?
The Democrats literally defunded police departments across the country.
Yeah, and then they had to rescind that because it was stupid.
So actions speak louder than words. It's like literally, then name a Republican-run city that defunded their police department. It didn't. Austin defunded their police, right? This is gaslighting at the greatest extent. And I want to get in a little bit to the Patriot Act, but I want to say this. There's a really important point here. Many of you guys don't know that this happened, but the Sunrise Movement, who was verified on Twitter, by the way, said today we show up at Joe Biden's doorstep, which is the White House, with 500 people and blockaded every entrance to the White House, demanding that included a funded civilian climate corps in infrastructure bill. Secret Service then arrested a dozen of us. Mike Cernovich, I'll get into the article in a second. Let me get into this from Human Events. It says specifically that in what could easily have been escalated into an attempt at insurrection, left activists from the Sunrise Movement marched to the White House demanding that Biden put climate change at the top of his priorities. According to a report, protesters blocked all 10 entrances to the White House, demanding Biden succumb to their Green New Deal agenda and include a fully funded civilian climate corps plan. Now, can you take this off the screen, Savannah? I'm going to make sure I have the next slide correct. Okay, yeah. So Mike Cernovich said this. He goes, as January 6 defendants languish in solitary confinement, beaten by guards and hunted down by the FBI for misdemeanor trespass, far-left activists get tickets for shutting down the White House, a goal they confess to. That's what real power looks like. And it's copies of more of their tweets talking about how that was their intent, was to shut down the White House. So they stormed the White House to shut it down. This would be the second time in a little over a year that they've stormed the White House. Remember in May 30th and 31st, I believe, they assaulted and damn hurt over 80 Secret Service agents, and they set fire to buildings around through projectiles and launched rocks at the White House. An actual, would be considered a real insurrection. What's interesting is that still held as protest, and the D.C. mayor, Mariel Bowser, said that never happened. She even said that we only had one day of rioting, I think I can remember last year, she said. It was like, ma'am, I spent like a few months of my life away from my wife, and like at least several weeks of those were in your city in D.C. covering left-wing riots. Savannah, can you concur to that?
I concur. Yeah, you remember when for Election Day we were taking footage of companies boarding up their windows? Yeah, that was a thing.
And it went over multiple days because the election went over multiple months.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because with everything that's going on and terminology that's being used, like the big lie, and that, you know, you hear people after people on the news and different commentators and then of politicians and people that can recognize truth as opposed to error, they can recognize through information and loving the truth what is a lie and be able to look at information and make sure it's the correct information. So we're living in a day where people can really say anything they want and people will believe everything that's said because people can't recognize the distinction, no discernment between truth and error in these days. We'll just say for the bulk of the people.
It's right? True. That's why I say it all the time. I feel almost incessant with it, but politics is about repetition, so I guess it's okay. But it's like, if you're going to live in a society that has mass enfranchisement when everybody gets to vote, you have to control narratives or else you're going to lose eventually, because if the hostile entities control the narratives, then eventually they will convince the masses to vote against you and your interests, and you will literally be targeted.
Right. And this is why I want to say, like, and as their narrative falls apart, it's a good segue to this. I want to bring this up too. Just please remember, a lot of you guys don't know that this merch is going away soon. So if you want to support the show and you want to pick up merch, you might have noticed there's no ads in today's show. Apparently they thought we canceled today's show because of 4th of July weekend, but we don't cancel our shows. They only cancel when we'll cancel.
Slightly offensive, uncanceled. Yeah. It's like the CPAC thing.
Yeah. But check this out. If you go to shop.blazemedia.com, I'm letting you know that this is the black line. I don't know how we end up with a white mug, but this literally is just our logo, and these are going to be going away soon in the next month or so. So pick up your original slightly offensive merch. Make sure you support the show. Get it for somebody you love that loves this show. And it, by the way, I direct that directly. It doesn't just go to the company. That directly goes to us here, this show specifically. It's one of the few things that doesn't go through the company. It goes to us. And I never promote our merch ever, but we do have merch, and I want to encourage you to check it out. But I want to go back to this Gateway Pundit article here. Is that this is a true story, and this is sad. FBI arrests 69-year-old LA woman for entering U.S. Capitol without lawful authority, but posts the photo in her case packet of Capitol Police holding the door for her. This is a true story. If we go down here, I want to look at the actual, see if they have the actual, yeah. So they arrested her, and they're like, this is like serious, 69-year-old woman in a flag. And you see on the right where the arrow's pointing, that's a federal officer letting her into the Capitol. So the problem with the narrative is that how can you trespass when the people that are intended to keep you out are letting you in? And that's what we're fighting with a lot of people. Some people did break windows, that's true, and they forcefully entered, but it's like grandma did not break a window. Do you know how hard those windows are to break? They had to use shields to break them out, okay? We don't know who all these people were, but I can tell you grandma is not an extremist. And that doesn't matter anymore because they have gaslit the people so much into thinking that everyone who was there was trying to behead Ilhan Omar or something. I don't know what they're saying now, that it was a true insurrection, that it's gotten to the point where even if you were just there, they have been so successful with the big lie and the insurrection in the media. People like Brian Stelter, people in MSNBC like Joe Scarborough, these people have sold their souls to iniquity for money. They sold out their countrymen. And the reason why I know that is this is really shocking, and I don't know if I have it here. Let me see if I have the evidence. But if you guys do not know this, I don't have it up to today. All the media companies, CNN, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, and they're glowing in videos. Like, it's just so wonderful to see Xi just show his hand of power over his country. It's like, these people have been sold, they've been bought, and they are. That's why I said we're in two countries, and they're cracking down on patriotic Americans.
Were you celebrating it?
Oh, Z's takeover?
I gotta say, I mean,
Z and Putin at least are boss leaders.
You know what is interesting, though? I think a lot of these people don't really fully recognize what they're doing is wrong. Like, they think that they're just kind of being accepting or something. I mean, some people totally know
they're doing
what
it
they're
for
doing.
Money. These people are making like $8 to $20 million a year to just be talking heads and to literally regurgitate what intelligence agencies tell them to say.
Yeah, well, that's what I'll say about China. You know, they're communists or whatever. But here's the thing. China versus America. America is just now China minus national pride, minus efficiency, plus drag queen story hour. Like, that's where we're at.
And minus the military. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. Minus people who actually want to join the military.
Yeah. Why would I want to join the military? So I'm going to die in the sand so little Middle Eastern girls can learn about masturbation. No.
Yeah. So like, speaking of our last episode, it's like, so you can teach a little brown kid in the Middle East how to stick carrots up his butt. Like,
yeah,
no. They don't need that. They got us all hate. They got this, like, I remember after 9/11 when they got America afraid of Islamic terrorism. Then we found out that they're the ones who gave all the weapons to the Mujahideen back against Russia. And then again, they armed ISIS. Clinton armed ISIS under Obama. And we found out that they created ISIS. And it's like, we got to fight this fight of ISIS, which we created to stay in a war because ISIS is there. And then Trump just comes and like bombs them for like 4 months. And then he's like, we could have defeated them a long time ago. And then suddenly Islamic terrorism is back once, you know, there's some tax right when Biden comes in. It was like, it's back.
Yeah. No one talks about that anymore. That used to be like a very popular right-wing buzzword. Like you were sick if you got up there and said, Islam is incompatible with Western civilization.
I'm an infidel. I'm an infidel.
They hate us because we're free. They hate you because they don't want your media to come over and teach their daughter how to be a lesbian. That's why they hate you.
Yeah. They want their daughters to be virgins and get married virgins. And that's, they have a different culture and they don't want this American liberalism being shoved in their faces because they don't want alcohol. They don't want marijuana. They don't want drugs. And now we're literally just there guarding opium poppies. So, you know, there's that.
It's interesting, though, in talking about China, because I think just kind of like China, comparing it to the U.S., you know, I've been over there on several occasions, but one particular to visit a friend, somebody who lived with us. And, you know, they have their glitz and their glamour and their neon lights and their great shopping. And you could buy your Apple Watch and everybody's using their QR code on their phone to buy everything. And you look and the big, beautiful buildings and everybody at the beach and all of these things where life looks normal. But if they want to speak honestly, they have to speak behind closed doors in a bedroom. And so the truth is, some people realize that they don't have the freedoms that the Americans have. And yet the rest of society there, you know, just feels like they got their Starbucks coffee or they got what they want. So everything's fine. And they don't recognize that they're missing their freedoms. And I think here, as there's that slow kind of boiling of this whole thing in America, that Americans don't realize also that we could end up like them just because we have things that we want. So it covers over your freedoms being taken away from you.
Well, I would argue on that point, too, is that it's just a different kind of entrapment. Like, it's just a different system of entrapment, but it's the same. It's the same concept. It's like you think that you don't disappear here, but actually we do assassinate our own people. That's a 100%. Real thing. We do assassinate our own people. And the reality is like, I was looking today about how 130 countries signed on a minimum tax plan for the globe, a global minimum tax. I'm like, well, this is what we're moving into, is that everyone's starting to look more like each other. As China looks more like the US, the US looks more like China. You know what? And I'm starting to realize that maybe, I know this is going to be, someone's going to take this out of context, but I finally understand Kim Jong-un. I get it. I get it now. It's like, you know what the global system is, and you're just going to try to make a country outside of that, because it's like, you don't, the West isn't good. The West is inherently, liberal democracy is bad. That's not what our founding fathers designed it to be. And exporting that, these countries, like, we don't want to be liberal democracies. Liberal democracy isn't good. Democracy isn't good.
True. You dropped this, King. What a good thing. And that's the thing. Look at anybody who America will teach you is a bad person, whether it's Bashar al-Assad, Kim Jong-un.
Gaddafi.
Yeah, Gaddafi. They're actually all like very smart people. You can go watch like Assad's interviews with like Western media, and he just grills these people. These bimbo reporters are like, well, what about this thing you said? And he just like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I watched like Azerbaijan. I've watched his presidents that like literally keep telling the media. I watched a bunch of these like random crap hole countries that they say like that need a little bit of Western modernization to join the EU. It's like, they're like, no, your media pretends like our country needs you, but we don't need you. We don't need your EU. They tell the reporter like, you're this is what you do. You ask me questions to make me look bad, and I'm not a bad leader, and the people don't not like me. Yeah. And actually, if you go to Syria, you find people like Bashar al-Assad and Gaddafi. It's like, he got anally sodomized and destroyed and murdered because the US wanted a regime change to destabilize him. I believe, I'm not going to get into this for reasons that I don't want to talk about, but personal reasons. But at the same time, it's like, again, humiliation. Yep. He sodomized to death. And now it's literally the US uses Libya as to funnel a lot of money. It's used for money laundering, and as well, it's used to harbor extremism and to push certain ideological ideas and to destabilize the region so we can continue to stay there. And it's like, what, Libya's not better off after we killed Gaddafi. They're not better off, but we were made to think like, Gaddafi, some guy in some North Africa, we need to kill him. And it's like, Americans just get behind it, the government narratives, and now it's like, dude, those are people. That country's lost now. That nation was stable with Gaddafi. Maybe he wasn't a good leader. I'm not defending that he probably raped people. He probably had people killed. But look at what the American freedom did to Libya. We destroyed what they had, what little they may even have had. We took it from them because we said that Gaddafi is bad. Is he worse? Because Donald Rumsfeld is dead. And on his obituary, it should say the murder of 400,000 brown people overseas in endless wars that were never legal or warranted. That's what Donald Rumsfeld did, and now he's being remembered as an American hero. I don't buy it.
No. And that's a take that the right's really just not ready for, because so much of our patriotism is derived from this, like, this myth of, not myth in the sense of it's not true, but this, like, constructed narrative to get us inspired about, like, oh, America, we're always the good guys and we fight the bad guys. Like, literally boiling down global conflicts to a Marvel movie. We have the good guys who are so good, and we have the bad guys who are just pure evil. They're now even doing this with the Civil War. Is there, well, the North were the good guys, the South were the bad guys, ignoring all of the other factors. And it's like, I would make the argument that we haven't fought a legitimate war in this country since like Mexican-American War, maybe, honestly.
And that was kind of over land.
Yeah, and like, but that's like, at least we got something from it. I don't know.
Yeah, at least the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. I'm just saying that, like, this is the point with the government, is that it's almost like even the patriotism on the right is a form of the people who hate, like, it's so funny, the left, like, hates the government. Like, the government, I mentioned this to recently to a black friend of mine. I was like, I never understood the black community's obsession with wanting white people to right the wrongs. It's like, well, white people messed up our lives, so they're gonna fix it. The government enslaved us, and now the government's gonna fix our lives. It's like, maybe the problems that caused your problems in the communities, let's just concede the whole argument. Let's just say it's the government and white people that caused systemic racism, and let's just totally agree with every single narrative. What made you think that they changed and that they're gonna help you? Because human nature is raw, especially without God. And as people have moved further away from God, I would argue they've probably gotten more smart in their sin and their diabolical ways to continue to keep you down. So maybe you should look inside your communities and figure out ways to change than looking to the people who wrecked your lives. If your ex-wife keeps making your life hell, it's probably not the one who's going to make it better. You go to a counselor. You go outside of that negative feedback loop to find a solution. And I realized I was lied to for years, thinking like, patriotism, blind, that's a blind trust of the government. Yep. And it's like, the US was good. It was meant for good. It was bred out of a good idea, but it has divulged way far from that. I believe it really, that primarily I would say the main thing would probably be the Civil War, but moving on would have been the creation of the Fed, moving away from gold standard. These ways where we got brought into the global banking community. Yep. We were brought out of independence. We no longer represented our people, and we've become this global police for the world.
I was going to say, a lot of this, from what I'm reading in the Bible, it looks like it could be going toward an end times scenario. And so that's pretty exciting for Christians. If that's the truth. But at the same time, if not, then we need to see some changes. I mean, this is some real hard stuff. And so, you know, I'm hoping it's come quickly, Lord Jesus, but of course we don't know that for sure in this case. And so it's like, let's still stand up for righteousness.
Yeah, and that's where we'll end on that note. That was a perfect summary of where we would go. Remember that if you support the show and you make it to this end, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're almost at 4,000 reviews. Thank you guys so much for helping us get there. That really helps us continue to keep the show going, continue to keep it rolling, and also funds a new project we're working on right now. You might get your reviews read at the end. Also, do not forget that if you've been a longtime member of watching the show, you subscribe, and you're like, how do I support this show as we continue to say things that are not good, and we make allies with people like Darren and people who are fighting the real fight. Believe me, this is true. Tucker's aware of what's going on. We are uniting together. Always go to blazetv.com/Elijah and become a member. You get $10 off with my promo code Elijah. Thanks to the Blaze, we were able to do this episode without any ads, which a lot of you have always don't want our ads, but they're there because we're demonetized everywhere, and that's how we pay the bills. The broom closet doesn't pay itself, so make sure you become a member. Let's get into some reviews of the show as we close out. We have a review from Dr. Boober. I don't know why you guys always make these names, but oh, what does that say at the top there? What's the title of this one? Top three host.
Top three.
That's pretty good. Hey,
you're
Elijah.
Moving up in the world. I'm so proud of you.
Just wanted to do my obligatory Apple Podcast review. Thank you. You guys are learning. I've been watching ever since you were a Skittle boy. Dude, I like how you guys pick up the language and you use the same. Do you ever notice that in your show? They pick up your phrases and they all start using the same phrases.
No, yeah, whenever I do like a speech or something, I'll have like this mob of like 50 young guys come up to me and then they're all speaking the same way that I speak. And it's just like, we could do something with this, couldn't we?
I like this. Yeah, we got in trouble by YouTube for calling. Hey, what do you care, Skittle boy? I love that phrase. He says, "Keel up the great work. God bless you. God bless Sav with a little heart. And God bless America," so that you're obviously probably a believer, and God bless you too. We also have Charger, which is I don't know if that means something. I'm assuming I'm off, but I think that's your pronouns, Charger, but I'm sure that means something. I'm gonna get in trouble. Truly courageous and love his sense of humor. I discovered this gentleman when he was covering the horrific riots of 2020. God bless his courage and God bless him and his family. That was one for you.
Hey, I wanted to say happy 4th of July to everybody.
Wait.
And that there's freedom in Christ.
Yeah. And I will say this, that as we end this, I was corrected by the president of this company which I just like 5 minutes ago as the show started before, this is what we have to change. He said, make sure that as they take away your holidays, that you continue to say happy Independence Day, not happy 4th of July, because 4th of July is a date. He said, 4th of July is a date, and we have to remember that we have independence, and that it could change days. Like, it really could. Like, meaning, like, we were independent on a certain day before. That could change again if we ever got independence again. I'm not gaslighting. I'm just saying.
That's a really good way to get kicked out of the barbecue. Just, happy 4th of July. Independence Day. Because
No. He just meant, like, on the show, we to remember, because Independence Day could change, because you could become independent again. That's what I'm trying to say.
Independence, the sequel.
Yeah, like independence could continue. It's not stuck to that day, because one day men would have to break away from tyranny again. So independence is a concept. It's not just stuck to a day.
Hey, after I'm done with this laryngitis, someday people could hear my real voice. I'm with you.
And you'll be back on. Remember to, if you liked my dad, I don't know if we're posting his social media, but you can always add him on Facebook, John Schaefer.
Send him a friend request. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I said maybe. I don't know if he'll accept you.
I'm not public right now.
Yeah, that's what I said. But you can also follow John Doyle. Plug your website and what?
Hackoffcommie.com, youtube.com/John Doyle. So true.
And there you go. Yes. Anyway, my name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17, or to some of you, top 14. And now to the first person, top 3 host for the best worst show on Blaze TV. We always end with confetti of color, which is the proper way to say it. Give a little bit to my dad. A little confetti. There you go. Feels good. To John. Yeah, let's go. He was, you didn't know he was on air anymore. And Sav.
I get confetti too.
Yeah, make sure to follow Savannah.
And wait, before we end too, I would just like to say that John gave a great performance today, and my IQ is much higher after hearing.
I literally wasn't listening.
What were you saying?
John number two.
did a great job on the show today, and my IQ is higher after.
How did John one do?
John 1 did amazing.
That's what I think. Thank you, Savannah.
All right.
John 1 didn't beat you in Galaga, so I don't know why you're being nice to him, too.
That's true.
Well, I'm learning from all of you.
I'll see you guys. Have a great Independence Day celebrations. And as always, may God bless the United States of America. We are signing out.